Memory association. It is something that probably happens to us every day, sometimes without us even giving it much thought or being completely aware. Memory association happens because we have subconsciously or mentally tied a particular object, sight, sound, or even smell with a memory of an event, place, conversation, or a person. We hear a song that instantly takes us back to a time and place in our lives, maybe on a first date, maybe your wedding day. I'm sure we all have some heirloom or trinket or gift that was given to us by a loved one that when we see it or hold it in our hands, we can recall every detail surrounding the exchange, the time and place, the sights and sounds around the room. We buy souvenirs or take pictures while we're on trips or vacations so we won't forget where we've been and we try to capture the moment. Many of us wear rings that serve as constant reminders and symbols of our commitment and love toward our spouse. God, in His infinite wisdom, knows how our minds are stimulated in this way. Back in the Old Testament, their worship incorporated all of these senses. They saw the workings of God. He gave them articles to touch that were to be used in their worship. They could smell the incense and the burnt offerings. He gave them the law to recite and even instructed them to incorporate it into their daily lives. And we see in Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting verse 4, he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be satisfied. Then watch yourself, lest you forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow the other gods, any of the other gods of the peoples who surround you, for the Lord your God is in your midst, and he is a jealous God. Therefore, the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth." Now, this warning may seem harsh, but the Lord knew that we are a people prone to forget. We become comfortable. And he gave his children these warnings for their own benefit. Otherwise, the ramifications of forgetting and falling into the abominable sins of the other nations would be devastating. And we saw this time and time again with the nation of Israel. Today, we are no different. We need these constant reminders to keep us focused on the oracles of God and keep us from sin. Even though the old way of worship, as it was seen under the old law, is no more, God has brought us into a much better covenant, but with the same purpose. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "For the law, since it is only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never be the same sacrifices year after year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, they would not cease to be offered, because the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins year by year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offerings thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me, and the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast taken no pleasure.' Then I said, 'Behold, I have come in the roll of the book which is written of me to do thy will, O God.' After saying the above, 'Sacrifice and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in, which are offered according to the law,' he said, 'Behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will there has been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Under the old law, sin could not be completely forgotten. There was the same sacrifices offered daily and yearly. Therefore, it was a constant reminder of God's mercy, but also of their sins. Today, with the perfect sacrifice that Jesus offered, we have a constant reminder of God's grace and His mercy, but consciously knowing that our sins have been forgiven. Even though we are under a better covenant, God still knows that we are inclined to forget, so He gave us this time of the Lord's Supper to serve as a special time that we can set aside to focus our thoughts, our efforts, and our hearts solely on the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, He took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup, which is the cup, the new covenant in my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" On the night that Jesus was betrayed, He participated in the last Passover with His closest companions. As you partake of the bread, it is meant to simulate how His body was ripped and torn for you and me. As you lift the cup containing the fruit of the vine, does the deep red color make you think of how His lifeblood was poured out for each one of our transgressions? Maybe the sweet juice as it hits your tongue reminds you of how sweet God's grace and mercy is and how undeserving we are of it. Our Father and gracious Lord, we thank You, God, so much for this time that You have given to us, Lord, that You know our hearts, You know our minds, Lord. You know that we are a people who would forget otherwise, Lord, that would be distracted by the things in the world, Lord, that we would become comfortable and complacent, God, that You know that we needed this on the first day of the week, Lord, that we could come together, to gather around Your Son's table, Lord, and remember that great and glorious sacrifice that You gave Your only begotten Son to come to this earth, to live as us, to be tempted in every form as we are, Lord, but yet remain sinless, and to be taken to that cross, Lord, and to be crucified, and to bear the sins of the world, Lord, to bear the sins of each one of us, Lord, on that cross, yet to rise again on that third day, Lord, to show His glory and honor, Lord, that He can bring salvation into the world, Lord. We ask You, God, just to please be with us. As we partake of these emblems, Lord, help us to do so in a worthy manner. And as we walk out of this place today, just help us, Lord, not to forget, but to write these things on our hearts and our minds, Lord. And as we go about our week, just constantly remind ourselves of Your rich grace and mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.